You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Wednesday here. Big show, nice show, comfortable show, in fact. Good afternoon, Tom Callahan.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well. I've got a quick, good show today. We're going to talk a little cycling. Did you know that it's an essential activity here in the state?
So is golf.
So is golf, yeah. I just saw your report. They're cutting off everything.
Yeah.
Can you breathe outside? Barely, apparently.
I don't know if you should at this point.
Right, that's true. We got about 12 feet between us.
Yeah, and a pane of glass.
Mm-hmm. And pain, you know, just pain.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Oh, we have pain between us, Steve.
So I just want to remind everybody, today is Wing It Wednesday. You could get some wings at Wings Over Broadway on the Far East Side, the 8,000 block. Just give them a quick call. They have the Eye on the Ball special. 10 wings and a soda for $10.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
When you're out that way, give them a call. It's 207-5883. Thank you, JJ. So that'll be going on all night, every Wednesday, in fact. They just became a big sponsor, so thank you very much. That's winging it on Wednesday, as I usually do.
I was going to say, you wing it every day, Steve, but Wednesdays in particular.
Yeah, wing it every day from Rivera. Hey, today, a show I'm going to have the CEO of El Tour de Tucson, so we'll talk a little about cycling. The event is about 8 months away, give or take, a few days. And, you know, we had Judy McDermott on the show last month, and she was very thankful for what? The event happened before all this started.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so now, is it 8 months? Do you think long enough? We'll see. We're going to be cutting it, right?
We are. And, you know, that's actually, Steve, that would be one of my first questions.
It is going to be.
And it's impossible to answer, right?
I mean, you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know. You just hope.
Yeah, there's no way to know. You plan that things will be back to normal, and then you adjust as you go, I guess.
Right. No question about that. So that'll be one of the questions I have, Charlene. And after talking to her about 6:30-ish, I have a good friend and one of the good guys of the program and of the city, obviously, and the world of U of A hoops, former associate head coach Jim Rosborough. We've talked a lot about the Final Four this week, right? We had, and the U of A basketball program, we had JT and AJ on the show on Monday. We had Ricky Anderson on the show yesterday. So now Jim Rosborough. I know that Ricky had said, hey, say hello to Jim for him. So we'll do that. We'll talk a lot about the good old days when he was assistant for Lute, his right-hand man for a number of years. Real quick, I guess we have like maybe 5 minutes. Mr. Callahan, did you watch the scheme last night?
So I did not.
You did not?
I don't have ESPN.
HBO.
All right. Yeah, HBO.
You have ESPN.
That's what I meant, but thank you.
You have ESPN. Yeah.
I don't have HBO.
Oh, so, okay.
And my brother has been saying he'll give me his login for 3 years. I've given up trying. So did you get a chance?
I did. Well, tell me, because it started at 6 during my start show at this time last night. And so I raced to the house. I caught the last 35 minutes, I think, and it was pretty interesting. I caught the end of the show where Coach Miller was throwing a few F-bombs, talking about his team and the player, and it didn't look good, obviously, but we all knew that was coming. So then I said, okay, I got to watch the next showing, and it started at 9. So I put it on at 9, so because it finished at, it went from 6 to 8, it gave me an hour to kind of decompress and then start again. So I turn it on and it was the Spanish version, and I'm thinking, I understand Spanish, but I'm thinking I'm going to miss some words, I'm going to miss blah blah blah. So then I flip some more and it says, oh, they have it in English still. So, you know, I got it. So it was good. I know a lot of people thought it was boring, but one, there was nothing that we didn't already know in it. It was just, you know, I thought that the Dawkins came off as a smart, intelligent man, at least in my mind, kind of a hustler, knowing what he wanted to be when he grew up, trying very hard to be that guy, got caught up in a lot of messes, wanted to be that guy and got caught up in messes. It happened to be all this stuff. And everybody wants to know why the coaches would be talking to this guy It's just what it is. You know this. If you want to get to players, if you want to get to the good players, guess what you have to go? You have to go through some people to get to these players.
Sure you do.
Unfortunately, the family, they have runners, they have, we all know this. They always have handlers. They have people with people. You know, I don't have people with people. In fact, I've been antisocial. I was, as someone said, I was antisocial before all this started. So, you know, you have to go through somebody to get to somebody.
Yes.
And if the better you are, guess what? You have to go through a tier of them.
Well, and you know, Steve, that's kind of the sad thing, too, is when some of these guys get to the NBA, they make all these millions of dollars, and then their entourage basically bankrupts them.
Right. That's a lot of money. There's no question about that.
It's like, oh, you got to take care of, you know, some uncle that you've never seen or your cousin's brother's former roommate because he's part of the posse.
Yeah, no is a harder thing to do once you have that money.
Yeah.
Or say.
And people know, obviously. Yeah. I mean, you're quote-unquote famous.
Right. That's why if I hit the lottery, guess what?
You're
guys
out.
Knowing you, you won't find me forward my mail to some P.O. box number.
Are you even going to want your mail forwarded at that point?
You know, I should automatically pay everything.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Just be gone.
I'm still one of those guys with checkbooks, sorry to say.
I got one too, somewhere.
Okay, okay, yeah.
Because I have to write, you know, HOA check every month, whatever.
Yeah, I get it. So that's, we're going to talk to Roz to 6:50. Like we had a good show yesterday, a long show, a lot of fun shows yesterday and the day before. So we'll talk to Roz for maybe 20 minutes and then close the show, maybe talking to JJ at Wings Over Broadway at the end of the show. So don't forget, if you want some good wings on the east side, give JJ a call at Wings Over Broadway. Good deal, 10 wings for 10 bucks and a soda. He's saying maybe beer later when you can start kind of having beer and taking it out.
Yeah.
Because everything's takeout.
Right.
Have you been eating out? I'm a fat tub of goo because guess what I've been doing?
You've just been getting takeout?
Eat out, yeah.
You know, I've thought about it, and it's funny. I was talking with somebody about this the other day, Steve, and I have actually not been eating as much, even though I've still been doing takeout or whatever. But there's just times when I'm at the house, especially after we leave here pretty late. And if I get home and I'm just like,
you're too tired.
I don't feel like cooking.
Yeah. No, that would prevent me from eating.
Yeah.
Because I don't cook, so I said, let me just go to the store real quick.
Yeah, and I'll just, but I don't even go to the store. I'll just grab like a handful of peanuts because I've always got one of those giant jars of peanuts. I'll grab some peanuts and like a something to drink and
No, by store I meant Circle K.
Oh, yeah.
This is sad for me to say. I went to Albertsons or somewhere earlier this week to get some stuff. And it was a new store. And I'm thinking, I don't come to grocery stores very often. So I went to the checkout counter and it was like a new checkout thing. What do I do? How do I do this? And it was like self-checkout. I'm thinking, ma'am.
Yeah.
She can't help me twice. I'm thinking, oh God, I'm never coming back.
Yeah. I agree with you.
I'm a bachelor. That's my excuse.
And I'm old school too, you know. I still like people to put stuff in a bag for me, I guess.
Yeah, right. Hey, how you doing? Okay, good. What's your number? Okay, blah, blah, blah.
It's job security. That's the way I look at it.
Yes, it is. Let's take a quick break here. Want to do that and then come back with Charlene Grabowski of El Tour de Tucson on the other side here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. And now on the line, I have the CEO of El Tour de Tucson, Charlene Grabowski. Good afternoon, Charlene.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Are you doing well? Comfortable?
I am. I'm glad you are too. Yes.
Yes. I'm trying to be in the house, not go anywhere but my living room. You never know.
That's good, yeah.
Hey, I was talking to the executive director of the Tucson Conquistadors, Miss McDermott, Judy McDermott, and I said she was very fortunate, and she says this wholeheartedly, that her event showed up before all this mess, so was able to kind of go off without. You're 8 months away. What are you doing to prepare for it?
Well, first of all, Steve, I very much appreciate you having me on the show. There's a lot of people who listen to you for facts, and so I think it's important that we all in this time, first of all, take the facts that we know about what's happening in the environment and be judicious about what we do. I have pent up energy and excitement about our ride, as you know, is November 21st, but I'm really trying to be careful with what we do and how we do it so that we are seen as people who are caring and compassionate, but also we see things down the road. So what we've been doing, as soon as the ride finished last year, well, we all took a little bit of a break, but right after that, we started looking and focusing on growth financially and stably, and so that people were predictive and people can know what it is that we're doing and we're going to be around for a long time. The second thing we did is do a refresh on our brand. So you're going to be seeing a new logo, a new website, a new registration tool, new access for our nonprofit partners, and easy access for volunteers to come and help us. So we have the future in mind while keeping the current environment that we're all in and the situations and predicaments that people are in. I'm keeping that top of mind as well.
Yeah, no question. In fact, when you showed up here 8 months and taken over, I think that one of the top of mind things that you had talked about was safety, and it continues to be.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It only takes one bad situation for you to really have to, you know, look internally, and our safety is number one. Absolutely.
Yeah. I also saw on Facebook just a couple of days ago, I think that you're on the verge of having open registration. I'm sure you're very excited about that.
Yeah, we are. And again, we're thinking about how to do that appropriately. I mean, clearly, with all of the new things that are happening, we want to come out with a big bang. But I think what we're going to do is come out with a bang. And what that means is we're going to open registration, let people know on social, et cetera, that it's out there. And then appropriately inform, again, through hopefully your radio station, as well as, you know, newspaper and things like that, and letting them know that we're looking to the future. We hope that we get through this sooner rather than later, but there's something to look forward to down the road, and El Tour de Tucson, November 21st, is one of those things.
Yeah, no question. You've come on the scene, like I said, 8 months ago, went through your first El Tour. I'm sure that was really eye-opening and enlightening and kind of like almost cathartic. What has the community meant to you, and what do you think the ride itself means to the community?
Gosh, this ride is the community. Tucson sees this, the El Tour de Tucson, as something that's critically important. It's a heritage ride. We've been around, this is our 38th year, and collected over $101 million for nonprofits through the ride. So it means a lot of things to a lot of people. The nonprofits count on it to be one of their major fundraising sources. The community comes out and supports, and there's nothing like those folks along the route, you know, ringing the cowbell and encouraging the riders. And then economically, it means we believe we are third from an economic development perspective in the city of Tucson and the county. So it's big, all three.
Yeah, no question. Are you there? Do we lose you? Oh, you, yes.
I apologize.
That's good. So, you know, the one thing that I think is goes unnoticed, although it happened over the year, is you helped raise $5.8 million, and it put El Tour over the $100 million mark in terms of money raised.
That's right. Rotary is a very strong partner, and they have big support teams. Additionally, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, focused on eradicating polio in the world, matches their funds. And so the Rotary organization was a big part of that. But we had 34 participating nonprofits last year who came and used the ride as a platform for their fundraising. So as I mentioned earlier, the ride means a lot of things, but this is a major fundraising event for many of the nonprofits. So I feel a responsibility to have the ride so that they can get out there and raise funds for themselves.
Yeah, no question, and it's done a great job. What did you learn from year one that you can help yourself with year two?
Oh my gosh, Steve.
How much time do you
have? So long.
We only have like 7 minutes.
Oh, okay, great. So the first thing, the support from the community was great. Just reaching out and asking people to help, and they were amazing. My team, others on the team who had the knowledge and allowed me to change directions and try new things and, you know, keep sort of guiding us, but also allowing us the opportunity to go try new things. So experimentation was important. Going outside, you know, I took a little heat
right.
initially
mm-hmm.
that was not such a good idea. It was going to rain, and guess what? It did rain. But Friday and Saturday ended up being gorgeous days, and so we were really blessed and fortunate to have that. So what I have learned is to listen to the community, listen to the riders, listen to my team, and at the same time, keep putting sort of the next level of greatness out there so that this ride just continues to get better and better and better.
Yeah, no question. In fact, cycling, you're probably finding out that there's a lot of diehard cyclists out there. They're dedicated. They're committed. In fact, Governor Doug Ducey said earlier this week that it's an essential activity. That's pretty important to us and to everybody who cycles.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that you can do by yourself. You can also do it with another person as long as, you know, you keep the appropriate distance that's required. But it's a way to get out there and exercise. And we have the loop. I mean, we are so fortunate to have the Huckleberry Loop and, you know, the accessibility to that. Our weather, I mean, the beauty of our mountains and cactus and, gosh, I mean, there's not a prettier place to ride. And especially in November, if you're coming from Wisconsin or Canada or Alaska, there's not a prettier place to do it. So cycling is, you know, our mission, Steve, is really we ride for charities, for community, and health and wellness. And cycling obviously fits the bid for all three of those.
Yeah, no question. I understand also there's going to be some changes, some new things. You can tease it if you'd like. If not, we'll wait. But a lot of excitement. We just got to get through this unfortunate time that we're in.
Yeah, you know, the excitement will be we're going to have a new route that will be happening. As I mentioned already, a new website with current content, important content. You, Steve, have been helping us lead, getting people out and forming communities of training rides. We obviously had to cancel those, but as soon as we get the green light, we're going back to creating communities for different levels of riders so that they have others to ride with. So again, we are being super sensitive to the environment that we're in, keeping safety, health and wellness top of mind. But we are not stopping behind the scenes, getting ready to have an incredible event this year.
Right. Now, this might be as a shock to you, but let me rephrase, your favorite story from last year, when it was all said and done, you were able to kind of put your feet up for maybe a day and say, you know what, that was a great story, because you saw a number of them.
Yeah, so it's more than a story, it was an experience, and we had the good fortune to have some bikes donated from Bicycle Ranch.
That's true, yeah.
Kids' bikes. And we had a coloring contest, and we have different age groups. And I think it's 5 to 7, 8 to 9, 10 to 11, something like that. And being able to give a kid a bike every night was like my most favorite thing. And one of the little girls, Sophia, got her bike on Friday and she rode on Saturday, and she sent me a little thank you note that she's riding her bike almost every day. So
oh, that's nice.
That was like the best. So guess what? We'll be giving bikes away this year again.
The impact that it has is very good to the community and worldwide, yeah, because of the donations and the fundraising.
That's right. The sponsors are very, very important. And even in this tough time, the sponsors are still coming through for us. And so we're so thankful because we can't do it without the big sponsors. And so we're very, very excited about that.
Well, Charlene, thank you for joining me today. Be safe at home.
And yes, and thank you for having me, and thank you to the community for sticking with us, and be safe yourselves, but look forward to registration opening on April 20th.
April 20th, yes. Thank you, Charlene. That was Charlene Grabowski, the CEO of El Tour de Tucson. Good to have her on, get some information. Remember that it's going to be in 8 months, about 8 months, and we don't know. It's only April 1st, so we have time. 7 months now. God, seven, 8 months. We don't know.
Well, and so that's the thing, Steve, is so if you can register.
Yeah.
And if the ride is postponed or whatever might happen, you're still registered.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
you're good to go.
Right. You know you're in.
Yes. Yes. And we'll make accommodations. We'll see what happens with that. But thanks, Charlene, for showing up and to take the call and to talk about El Tour. There's still a lot of people out there cycling. The one thing that we'd like to say is make sure you're social separating, or you have, you know, that distance that's required,
yeah,
even when you're cycling and you're in the free wind and in the free air.
And you know what? You should be exercising the caution anyway,
especially
when you're all sharing the path with people walking their dogs, people rollerblading, people on bikes.
Yes.
You know, you should be exercising caution and courtesy. So
I thought you were going to say you should be exercising. I'm thinking,
you should be exercising,
don't make
Steve.
Me. Please don't make
you
me get off this couch. But
yeah,
I will be, you know, because remember we had somebody. Oh, we had the yoga, the woman last 2 weeks ago. Gave me some inspiration. I need some more inspiration, Tom.
How'd that work out for you?
You got to need some more inspiration. Hey, thanks. We'll take a break here on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. And now on the phone, I have Jim Rosborough, former associate head coach at the U of A and now at Pima. But we're going to talk a little about the good old days. When Jim was like 52 years old, I realized this just today, actually, that I'm older than Jim at the time that the Arizona won the title. Jim, how are you?
Steve, I'm really well. And just best wishes to all your listeners for good health and safety, and these are tough times, so hopefully maybe we can talk on some things to lift the spirits just a little bit.
Yes.
Before we really get into those things, Steve, I'm sure you were going to ask me about the Pima women's team this year, how we finished.
You did.
Steve?
Yes, I was. Like, we'll start there. You guys did fantastically well. We're actually headed to the tournament.
Yeah, Steve, the interesting thing is, I think in 10 of the last 11 years, Pima and Mason have played, or Mesa have played for the right to go to the national tournament. And the home team had won every time. Five times here, we'd won to go. Five times Mesa had won up there to go. This year we had to go up there, and we went up there and thrashed them really good. So it was kind of a described as a historic game. But we really had a good year, Steve, and kind of like Adia down at the U, we were exciting. We didn't have a lot of returning stuff, and credit to Todd and I guess the rest of us, but I'll tell you, these girls did a good job. They listened to their coaches, and it was a fantastic year. We did qualify to go to the national tournament in Port Huron, Michigan, and of course it was called off. But it just so you would know, academically a great program, basketball great program, got better all year, and really a lot of fun. So just to get that in before we get to the main topic, Steve.
In fact, I'm sure that those teams that you can now coach keep you very young, very active mentally and physically.
Steve, you're absolutely right. I mean, we really, first of all, Todd has made a point, and Pete Fajardo, who deals a lot with the recruiting, have made the point of having in, you know, good young ladies. So we really had fun. They're sharp. They're probably a little bit mature beyond their years, or at least they think they are, and we kiddingly tell them they are. But in any event, they're fun to be around. You know, we get used to their music. I have to listen to their music, and I try to introduce them to Neil Young and Bob Dylan and some of the oldies, but they don't want to hear any of that kind of stuff. So, but it's fun, and it does keep you young. And you know, my personally, I'm just on a very small little hope is, I hope that, you know, this can continue for a few more years. So that was a good year, Steve, and a lot of fun with the girls.
In fact, I had JT and AJ on the show on Monday. They made sure to say hello to you and then give you some grief about the jokes and the times, you know, the corny jokes that you always used to come up with back in the day. And then your favorite SID, Brett Hansen, said make sure to say hello to Roz. I saw that The Athletic did a big story on the Final Four and the championship game. You were quoted in it a number of times. So,
I thought that was a good article, too. Kind of captured the flavor of the moment in that particular day of the game. I thought he really did a pretty good job. And, of course, AJ and Jason never had one good joke in their whole life. But those guys never had a good joke in their life. They usually laughed at their own that weren't very funny. So.
Right, right. Well, we quoted them a lot on their jokes. That's the question. Yeah. Hey, so I was wondering, as we watched the game, I just saw that you just watched it for the second or third time all time.
Well, you know, Joseph Blair did a fundraiser down at the Fox Theater here maybe 3 years ago.
No, it was longer than that. It was about seven.
Well, 7 years. Geez, if it was 7 years ago. And, you know, so you kind of watch the game, but it was in a different atmosphere, and it was, you know, cut off after 3 or 4 minutes and bring guys up to interview. And, you know, a cool idea. But, you know, to sit there and watch it like this with Nance and Packer and the crowd going berserk, and, I mean, you could – I don't know how you felt, Steve, but, boy, you could just feel that coming through your TV now, however many years later.
23
years,
yeah.
Whatever it is. I mean – it was amazing, and I don't know if you were, you know, a little excited in the overtime. I mean, come on, make these free throws, get these rebounds, blah. I mean, it was a little nerve-wracking, I got to be honest with you.
It's funny because I didn't remember that AJ had fouled out, and they didn't know that he had fouled out, so they kept him in for one play, one free throw.
Yeah.
And then that I thought that when Donnell came in, I didn't know that he missed three free throws. Those are huge free throws. He hit somebody, missed three.
Yeah, he made a couple that were key, and he did, and I kind of thought he, until again the other day, that he had been well known for the free throws he did make. Well, he did miss them, although I was talking for better or worse with Josh Pastner this morning, and I will say, if you watch that really closely, Donnell had a huge offensive rebound.
Yes.
It was a snag down there, and it was a heck of a rebound, and got it kicked out, and I forget what happened, took some time off the clock, and maybe somebody got fouled, made free throws, but that was a huge, huge rebound. And he, you know, he did a good job. I mean, he was down there, and he was kind of a basket protector, and, you know, he did a good job down the stretch, so it was good to have him.
Speaking of your guy, Josh Pastner, always in front of the camera, knew where the camera was going to be, and at the end of the game, we've seen this a number of times, when AJ pushed him aside, he says, "Get out of here, enough."
Yeah. Well, I mean, you knew Josh at the time, Steve. You were intimately involved with the program and covering us. And Josh, you know, anytime there was a camera around or news guys around or anything, he happened to be right in front of it. I mean, the guys got all over him about that. And so, when, you know, he's trying to get right in front of AJ at this particular crucial moment after the game, and AJ's right, get the heck out of here, Josh. You know, you didn't have much to do with the win or loss, although Josh was a very valuable reserve, you know, spent a lot of time shooting in the evenings with the guys. But yeah, that's one of the legendary things out of the game too. So yeah, that was fun.
One of the things that Nance had talked about, I think it was him or Packer, talking about the defensive strategies you had on Kentucky, and then I realized who did the scouting one, and then only to remember that you did the scouting on Kentucky. In fact, you did 4 of the 6 games in the tournament.
Yeah, it may have been Phil and I split them up that year, 3 and 3. I'm not sure about that. I do know in 94 I did all 6. I guess we played 5. I did do all 5 of the scouts in 94, and in 2001, I don't know. But in any event, in fact, Phil had Kansas, which was really a good game and a good scout. But I did have the final, and you know, went right back after we beat North Carolina and got on the film, Steve, and they ran some good, really, really good stuff. As you well know, despite anything else, Patino's a good coach, and he was running good stuff, and they had Mercer, and they had these screens, and they had some sets that we really hadn't seen before. So the biggest thing on Sunday afternoon when we had our shoot-around was a little bit of shooting and so on, but then to get our coverages as to how we were going to deal with a lot of those screens. And some we were going to be able to switch, and we've talked before, Steve, about the beauty of Bennett Davison. He could switch anywhere.
Right, right.
So if he was involved, and I don't recall exactly, but he could be one that would switch. AJ, we weren't going to switch on guards, but the rest of the people we could switch, or we were quick enough to get through. I mean, when you've got JT and Dickerson, I was glad to see in the Athletic article that Dickerson did get some praise because he did a good job defensively. Now, offensively, he probably wanted to do a little bit more and so on, but defensively he was really good, and Bibby was smart enough to deal with those. And again, Miles, as you know, has a great knack for the game. And you watched in that game, I'll tell you, Steve, they were busting their butts to get over those screens and get there and put pressure on the shooters and everything else. So, you know, as much as anything against a really, really, really good team, those guys performed, did a great job.
What was the difference between maybe confidence-wise? Because I think that was your third Final Four, one at Iowa, and then one in 94, and then this one. What was the difference in confidence, or what was the difference in winning it all?
Well, Steve, when we were at Iowa, we really had a good team. And I think we probably talked on this before, Ronnie Lester, who was an All-American point guard, came back from a knee injury, and then in the semifinal against Louisville, he re-injured his knee, and we ended up losing by 8, and he had 10 of our first 12 points. And I do think, and I think anybody, Lute or anybody, would tell you that team might well have won it because we were on a roll, and we got Ronnie back, and we really, really had good players. We had size, quickness, everything. And then in 94... You know, we had a good team, and you know exactly what happened. Khalid Reeves and Damon Stoudemire, two All-American guards, not one, two All-American guards, just did not have real good shooting nights. And if they had met their averages, which I think were, what, Steve, 21 and 23?
Right.
Something. If they would have met their averages, we would have won. And I'm not putting anything on them at all because they were phenomenal, but we just didn't shoot it very well that night, and that cost us. And then you know, I can't tell. I mean, Steve, you were there. You tell me what was it to beat Kansas? I mean, there is probably one of the great all-time teams in Kansas. I mean, what was it there? It was
so many great things. So many great things. Yeah. You had an unflappable guard, freshman guard, who sat at the free throw line, didn't miss shots. You had JT, who's playing his heart out. AJ, who showed more confidence than ever in that game. God, what didn't go wrong? It was a glorious night.
Well, so you asked, I mean, what happened? So, you know, you beat them, and then I'm sure you were there for that Providence game. Now, that was a heck of a game, and they were good, and we were probably still, you know, somewhere in the back of our minds, geez, we beat Kansas. That was a heck of a game to go. And then you beat North Carolina, and, you know, you're going to the finals. And, you know, our kids were confident. Our kids were relaxed. You know, the article pointed out they wanted to get out there at 5:30. I tried to bring them into my room to watch some film, Steve, and they wanted nothing to do with any more film. They just wanted to get in their uniforms and, you know, and get over and play. So,
and the game starts, like, at 9, I think, at 8:30, 9 o'clock?
Yeah, it was a late game, but you know, there was just inner confidence, and Bibby was as cool as they come, and, you know, the facts are known. He had a great pro career. Miles was on a roll, you know, not seen by many in Final Four history. Jason Terry was playing as well as anybody. Dickerson a little down in some areas, but brought a lot. And then the big guys, and Gene Edgerson was a valuable guy, as was Danelle Harris. We had two posts that could come in to relieve him, 8-man rotation, and just there was a inner confidence, Steve, and, you know, just kind of an unflappable group. And I did see a quote in that Athletic article. Luke went by, I guess, Packer, and said, well, we've come this far, we might as well win it. And that was, you know, that was kind of the attitude. Nobody was flipping their lids or going nuts. Right. It was just you know, let's get out and play.
In fact, in that story, which is something I've said all along, that you may have won the tournament that in the first game. You're down by 10 to South Alabama. Oh. We know the history of the first round losses, the ridicule and all the heartache with that. And then you just poured it on and were able to win that game. And I think that kind of alleviated a lot of ghosts, demons or whatever. And you guys kind of just started playing your game.
Yeah, no question on that. That was a 7 minutes to go. That was brutal. Everybody was sick. Their stomachs, wives were sick to their stomachs. Everybody was sick. And then Jason got on fire and got us through that one. And then the next game against College of Charleston. Now that guy was a heck of a coach, John Cressy, and he had really, really a good team. And that was under no means a walkover. So you know, we won that one. And then I think Steve, you kind of remember this too. We flew into Birmingham, but somewhere the flights and so on got a little bit screwed up, and we were supposed to practice at such and such a time. And, you know, you get on a regimentation, nice, and schedule. Everything should go right now. I mean, and we were late for practice and had to flip. I don't know what all went on. This was the day before, you know. So that was kind of interesting, but we overcame that and then, you know, got out and beat Kansas and then looking at a chance to go with Providence. So it was something.
Yeah, no, great, great, great team. We talked about 94, which is obviously a very good team with Damon and Khalid. 88 team where you were not here, but that's everyone loves that team with the guys. Very good team. In fact, I was talking to Ricky. I talked to Ricky Anderson yesterday as well, and I said that given my choice, I love the 2001 team. You had a fantastic group of guys.
Yeah.
You had to take over for about 3 weeks. It was not easy. The Connecticut game was a fantastic game, but it was crazy. You know, Richard, Gilbert, Luke, Jason, Lauren, Michael Wright.
Mike Wright.
Yeah.
Ricky was there. And there's another guy. I mean, if Bennett Davison, just to get this on the record, if Bennett Davison was an undersung great player here, I'll tell you who else was Ricky Anderson.
Yes, I agree.
After that year, for the next couple, I guess it was, I mean, he was a really, really good player. He could shoot. He was tough. He could run. He could dunk. I mean, he was really a good player, but just so we're on record as saying, he was one of the undersung players here.
No, I joked about it. I think that of all the guys I've coached or coached, I've watched and written about, he is the master of all the sports that you wish you could be good at. Ping pong, golf, bowling, marbles, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and a little bit crazy. I mean, he was a funny guy, and the guys liked him, and that was the other thing about going on after 2001 and losing all those guys. I mean, again, Steve, I hate to be redundant, but you were there and you witnessed this, and everybody thought, oh, man, 2001-2 is going to be down, 2002-3. And I think it was the year after all those guys left, we went out and won two big games in the Garden.
Yes.
We beat Maryland and Florida or somebody. Phenomenal games, and Ricky was on fire, and, you know, Jason was back, Luke back, and so there really wasn't a great drop-off, but I would agree with you. Talent-wise, that 2001 team, I mean, come on, you look at that with the size, the quickness, the smarts, and we've talked a lot about, you know, a guy who sadly kind of screwed up his pro career a little bit, but Gilbert Arenas, there's not going to be many better players than him, and so, yeah, that was a great team, 2001.
Yeah, as you looked back on this time and maybe watched the game on Monday, it was probably some of the best times you've had as a coach. Yes?
Steve, I've said this, and not to, you know, belabor me, but I'll tell you some of the most fun times I had was when I was in Chicago and I had my eighth grade team in there. And I'm telling you, that was really, really fun. And we had a really good program for guys. The principal helped us buy uniforms, and we were all over the city playing, and school was going nuts for basketball. Now, that was really fun. And all the years of coaching, the Iowa years, the Arizona years, terrifically fun. I love coaching the women's tennis down there, which I did for 4 years, and now at Pima, you know, I just tell you, Steve, I couldn't have more respect for Todd and love the girls out at Pima. That's really been fun. But in answer to that, maybe that stretch from 1990 up through, 2003, 2004, you know, and then the horrible loss in 2005. But those were some really good years and really fun years, and you're in the hunt for national title every year. And, you know, we did have the 2 years where we lost, Steve, which you
yes
know well, but You know, we came back after that and, you know, go to the Final Four in 1994. So, but those were really, really good years in my life. Thanks for asking.
Yes, yes, no. And you're 75 years young, still out there helping the kids get better. Jim, thanks for joining me. Always good to talk to you.
Yep, Steve, anytime. And again, just to people listening, be safe and then let's get through this together.
Great. Thank you, Jim. That was Jim Rosborough. Assistant coach at Pima with the women and former U of A coach with the men. Hey, let's take a quick break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Why on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera, and with me, Tom Callahan with the Tunes. Thank you very much, Tom. Good interview. You probably never met Mr. Rosborough.
I have not.
One of the good guys. One of the good guys. He looks to me like Pete Carroll of the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
Just kind of one of those guys, good dudes, kind of, you know, you want to play for him, intense, but a good guy you want to work your butt off for, one of those guys.
That's a good thing to have in a coach.
Yes, yes. You got to want to play for the guy because, in fact, in doing stories on Lute, when I first started covering the team in the early 90s and talking to the guys why they played hard for him. Well, back then, you know, he's 85 now and always kind of, you know, had the white hair, older. He looked older than what he was, this, you know, dapper guy. And he was 50 something when he first arrived. And the guy said, well, you don't want to disappoint your grandpa. You just don't want to. And he was like 55. You know, I guess I could be a grandpa too. But so you want to play your butt off for that reason. Plus, he's a good coach. He makes you play hard. Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So the last thing you don't want to do is your parents or your grandparents. You want to disappoint them.
Yep. Yeah. And remember, Steve, when you're 20, 55 is ancient.
Oh, heck yeah. I'm right there now. You know, it's like the kids today. I'm sure there's nobody under 20 or 20, 25 listening to me now. I don't want to listen to my dad tell me about sports.
Same kids who voted Lou Alcindor off the island.
Very much
grumble,
so.
Grumble.
Very much so. They're not saying, oh, that's Rivera guy. He has some good content. No, they don't want to talk. This is stuff before they were born.
Get off my AstroTurf lawn.
Yes, yes. I'm playing video games. I don't need that. These smartphones.
Yeah.
Give me a check and a pencil. That's all I care about.
Oh, man. I you know, a total side note, I love pencils.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I would prefer to always write with a pencil.
Dull or sharp?
So I sharpen them to a point, and then what I'll do is I'll just push it on the page until that very tip breaks off, and then I write with it.
Right. Right.
I don't want to, you know, use the paper and cut it. So I just pop the little point of the pencil off and then I'm good to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. We'll see who we're talking about pencils on the.
See, isn't that, that's the thing though. You know, I like pencils when I have a routine as to how I use the pencil.
Right, right, right. Hey, we still have some time here. If you want to get some wings at Wings Over Broadway on the east side, give them a quick call, 520-207-5883. It's the Eye on the Ball special, 10 wings and a soda for $10.
Steve, do you know how late they're open till tonight?
I don't know. I think about 9, maybe longer. Actually, that's a good question. But if you go to the website, it's on my Facebook page. You can kind of just navigate. You'll find them there, Wings Over Broadway.
To look for Steve Rivera on Facebook.
Steve Rivera, yes. The ugly mug guy. Yeah. Yeah, have me as a friend. I'll say yes.
There you go.
Of course, if you have more friends, if you have some of the same friends, not just willy-nilly friends, you know. You on Facebook?
No.
You're not?
I got rid of mine.
You're the dude that doesn't. That's good.
Years ago.
More power to you.
Yeah. I actually, so a quick story. I got rid of mine just after I got married because my new mother-in-law wanted to friend me on Facebook. And I'm like, this is where it ends. This is where it ends right now. I deleted Facebook that day as soon as I saw her friend request. And she never asked me about it, thankfully.
So you could have kept it if you wanted. She would have never.
Well, no, I just think. Yeah, because eventually, I told my wife, I said, look, my ex-wife now, I said, I deleted Facebook. I'm out on this. Like, your mom tried to friend me on Facebook. I'm like, no, I can't do this.
Yeah. Makes complete sense. I get it. There's only so much room in this family that we could be knowing everything about each other.
Yeah.
Social distancing. I'm the king at it, baby.
I have social media distanced.
Yes, smart move.
You really can only find me on Twitter anymore, Steve.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
really.
That's it.
I'm not a Twitter guy with you. I'm not a big Twitter guy. To me, too much information is too crazy.
Yeah.
Too much. I really don't care.
Okay, I could see that. That is, and that's how I use Twitter, is as a news aggregator. I follow the people
sure.
who tweet about the topics, and mostly people who write, journalists and newsmakers.
So of those things that you aggregate, good stuff, serious stuff, how many percent of the time? Funny, stupid stuff?
Very little funny and stupid stuff. It's probably 90% sports news, and then the other 10% is real news and maybe like a couple of hobby things that I enjoy. But other than that, I mean, I don't follow like silly, crazy, like I don't follow comedian accounts or anything like that on Twitter.
That makes sense. Yeah, you're more serious than you are
funny. Yeah. Although I do follow Depressed Darth on Twitter, which is a Darth Vader parody, where it's basically the guy tweets as Darth Vader with depression. And it's actually pretty funny.
Oh, okay.
So, you got to be a Star Wars person.
The things you know on or learn on Eye on the Ball.
There you go.
So it's been a pretty good 3 days. I don't know what's coming up tomorrow. I think I've run out of people.
No, goodness.
I'll have something good tomorrow.
It has been. Well, actually, Steve, tomorrow's Thursday, correct?
Yeah.
Tomorrow at 6 o'clock, we're running the live town hall with Governor Doug Ducey.
That's right. I'm off tomorrow.
So you have a reprieve.
I do. That's great. I remember that. I remember that now. That's cool. I get a day off. I don't have to come in.
That's right. So that'll give you all the time in the world to plan your Friday show
with Tom,
which needs to be your coup de grace on the weekend.
Coup de grace. Let me Google that. I don't know what that means.
At least now you could talk to your phone and just say, "Hey Google, what's coup de grace?"
No, I put that in. I don't talk to my phone. To me, I use a pencil or a pen. Come on, Siri, take me to coup de grace, and I'll end up somewhere I don't want to be.
Has anybody seen Steve? No, they came and took his phone and dragged him away. I don't know what happened.
He must hit the lottery. Yeah. He said he was gone.
That's what that is. Yes, yeah.
Yes. So no sports, but I'm okay with that. I mean, we've watched a lot of good games last couple of games. Replays, of course, we all know what's going on, but we still have people. This show is not about sports per se in terms of scores and all that. It's more about the people that played the sports,
and the stories, Steve, have been tremendous. Yeah, and that's what I've enjoyed.
Yeah, a lot of fun, especially if you don't know them or you want to look back at them. It's this week has been that kind of week, a feel good week for stories. JT, AJ, Ricky, Roz, let's see if I can pull something off on Friday. I don't know who it could be, but we'll see. Should be fun.
Absolutely.
That's half my day trying to figure out who am I going to have on the show. Talking about the good old days. Because, you know, I start to tear up when I do that.
Are they still... Now, let me ask you this, Steve. I know we only got like a minute here. But are they still... the recruiting process pretty much still continues, though, right? Yeah. They have to assume things are normal next year?
Yeah. Everything's the same. We got to go... I think it's a dead period right now, but everything's the same. Transfers are going to probably start making their announcements here. We'll see. The senior spring players got their year back. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'll talk to Kendra or somebody on the Friday show that we could talk about the seniors coming back. It's going to be kind of a mess. Seniors coming back, the recruits coming in, situations, money, how
will
much
they
it's going to
expand
cost.
Rosters?
Right.
Or?
I think they've done that. But still, I mean, what do? You got good players here, good players coming in. You know, there's only one ball.
That's right.
Only one ball.
You can only put so many people out there.
There's 9 spots, baseball. Hey, let's go talk to you tomorrow. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm off. We already talked about that. I'll see you next week, Tom?
Yes, I will see you next week, Steve.
Yeah, good for you. You don't have to see me. Take care, everybody, here on 10-3 The Voice.